At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Welcome to the Barnyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson, here on the magnificent Monday edition of The Yard. It's hot. It is. It's about 5 o'clock, and it's still like 94 degrees. It's hot. Everywhere you walk, it's like somebody's blowing a hairdryer in your face. It is. The good news is that we don't have a whole lot of this left. A little bit left. But, hey, that's life and times in the South, right? Speaking of that, many of you have made your well wishes known to our family as Mia, my youngest daughter, has made the move to Cambridge, Massachusetts, living off Harvard Square up there. You know, she'll be beginning law school this week at Harvard. It's cool. It is. It's one of those things, too, sometimes you even ask yourself. It's like, is this real? You know, and then when she gets on a plane yesterday and makes her way up there and all of her stuff is awaiting her, it's reality's kind of setting in, you know. And here's the thing that I think it's important to know. I have never, ever, 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 ever wanted my children to be under my feet. I've shared with you guys before. I think it's important to raise kids without limits as it relates to their future. Right, everybody out there tells you you can be whatever you want to be, which is a lie. It is. You can't be what you want to be, but you can be who you want to be. Like, I can never be president, right? It's not going to happen, you know. Now, I believe that if you guys appointed me president, like if something happened, like, hey, we want Steve to be the president, and I won some mock shift election or whatever, I think after a few months, I'd probably have a pretty good idea of how things go, and I think I could probably do a decent job. But that's the only way it's going to happen, right? Unless it's like the Lord of the Flies type election, it's not going to happen for me, right? I'm never going to be a model, I don't think. You never know. You know, dad bods are chic these days. You know, it's cool, whatever. But I use those absurd examples just to kind of suggest, you know, there are a lot of times in life that people tell you, well, you can do anything you want to do, and that's just not true. It's not true. It doesn't mean you can't have a great life. You can. I do. I love my life. I do. And I like to keep myself busy. But, yeah, I'm living a dream. It's true. But I share that with you because there are so many people sometimes I think we get caught up, and we'll preach about this just for just a second. This is the downside of social media. I mean, it truly is. Because not all of us are going to put our best foot forward, right? I mean, we're not going to put ourselves out there on our own personal social media in a way that's not flattering. And then, you know, Hollywood is part of the problem, too. And in many respects, it always has been. Because people in the movie industry paint these so incredibly unrealistic expectations for people. They'll have you believing that you can be whatever you want to be. And all of a sudden, there becomes a sense of entitlement. Let me just tell you this. Nobody gets anywhere in life without a lot of hard work. It's true. And that's the part they leave out, right? I mean, you see that band on stage, you know, playing in front of 10,000 people. You know how many hours went into that? How many hours of practice and failure went into that? You see that star athlete that is out there making the game-winning play in the final seconds. Do you know how many hours of practice and weight room and film study that went into all that? We see the finished product. And there's a lot of things out there that make you believe that you're just a discovery away from being that. And I'm here to tell you 99.9% of us are not. We're not. There are some people that are naturally gifted, naturally beautiful, and they get discovered and do great things, but there's still a lot of work that goes along with that. Michael Jordan, the greatest basketball player that's ever lived. What was he known for? His work ethic, his practices. Same thing with Kobe Bryant. You see it all the time. People talk about the Mamba mentality, you know, about how hard he worked. He'd go in and get a couple of hours in before practice and stay afterwards. You don't get to be in that position, even if you're ultra talented, without working hard. It's one of my favorite things. I love these like back to school football shirts that everybody wears, you know. It's hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard, right? Because there's a lot of people out there that can go download Pro Tools and they can put together a single and put it on iTunes and they can have some semblance of success, but that doesn't mean that they're going to be rock stars some days. And again, I got a lot of friends that are trapped in music. And I mean that as honestly as I can portray it. I got friends of mine that have been in music their entire lives. They have no other marketable skills. They're very skilled and talented at what they do, but nobody's buying records anymore. If you don't go out and perform, if you don't go out and play the live shows, if you don't go out and sell your merch, you're not going to be anyway successful. You're not going to be able to maintain a lifestyle as a professional musician without live performances. That's why you've seen so many of these bands from the 80s back on the road again with some semblance of the band. There's always two or three new members. Because they got to go pay the bills. Their kids are in college. And they got their kids are getting married. They got to pay for all this stuff. You know, it's a little different dynamic. And so the world has changed. And there are a lot of people out there, of course, and again, that know nothing about the music industry. And I know just a little bit. But here's what I do know. It's like every time that they send that limo to pick you up, anytime that they put you up in that suite, anytime they give you those great accommodations, that's just an advance on future royalties. I know some bands from the 80s that to this day have never received a royalty check because they are so in debt to the record company. And people are always like, hey, I wish we could get new music from this band. Well, most of them are still under contract with labels that don't want to go invest in a new album. And so you're stuck being a nostalgia act. And so everybody has a challenge in life, every single one of us. And I share that with you. I think it's important, right? I think it's important to know that. Again, I think one of the worst things, I love Netflix, I do. But man, one of the worst things is like some of these Netflix things, man, they paint such a picture that it's just not in reality. It's not reality. I mean, they have you thinking that everybody is out there, you know, living in $500,000 house or greater, that everybody's driving a luxury SUV. And all of a sudden it makes you feel worse about your own. I wish that was me. Well, it's not even them. And it's important to understand that. See reality for what it is. And I grew up a guy in small town Mississippi. And that was always my dream. I want to move to California, make it rich, be famous. That was always what I wanted to do. It is. And I didn't have the talent to do it. It's true. Speaking of talent, we're going to be getting together this weekend, rehearsing for the 988 Suicide Hotline Prevention performance. We're going to get together this weekend, probably jam out some other stuff. And we've even got a little name for it. Not going to share it yet. Working on some things. We've kind of committed that some of us, not all of us, some of us that are performing this, we think we want to make some more music together when it's all said and done. That's what we're thinking, you know. And so you never know. You know, you never know. May have something that original that we record and put out and have some fun with. But no, I'm not going to be a full-time musician ever again in my life. It's not going to happen. I'm too old for that. That's not to say that I wouldn't go sit in with some people or maybe do some, you know, play a few dates every once in a while and open for some other folks. You never know. Why limit myself, right? But, we went out and saw the our buddies met over the weekend at Storage 24 down at Howlin' Mouse and had a great dinner at Martin's, and then walked over the parking lot to Howlin' Mouse. Had a great time. There were some up-and-coming bands, kind of sludge metal, if that's your thing. And then our buddies in Storage 24 put together a great set. I videoed the Anger Management performance and put it out there on Twitter and Facebook and TikTok and things like that. Last time I checked, we had over 10,000 views. And that's the way that I see that, how I can help them. Not just me being there. Number one, to get that first big hug from Fred off stage. Because Fred's my buddy, right? I love being able to go and watch those guys perform and Fred shouting me out from the stage. That stuff's super cool, man. It is. But those guys are my friends, but they're also out there doing something to keep the Mississippi rock scene alive, right? But you know, I've got a platform, and the way I look at it is like, hey, you know what? Fred, Matt, those guys are my friends. And so, yeah, I can use my platform to showcase their talent. And you know what? If you're my friend, I'll showcase yours too. You know, it's just like when we did Rock Vegas. You know, we had you know, Ryan Purser, who is going to be performing with us for the 988 cover that we're doing. And Ryan had a band called Four Way Stop that was super cool. They opened for Hardy at Bulldog Bash here a couple years ago. They also opened Rock Vegas for us. And super talented guy. And I've always wanted to work with Ryan. I mean, his love for the Bulldogs and love for music is infectious. And he now lives in South Louisiana. So he's making up quite the trip to come be a part of this. And so I share those things because I think there is a potential for us to kind of bring the music scene back in Mississippi. And I've read Blake, our drummer, also a part of this, former drummer for Blacktop Ridge. Blake and his family had tickets to see 311 in Tupelo, and the concert got canceled. And so I say that to say this. If we want cool things to happen in Mississippi, we got to get out and support them. We do. We had a sellout crowd for Falling in Reverse in Biloxi here a couple nights ago. That's cool, right? Appreciate you guys from the coast, even though you probably had some folks from New Orleans that came up and were part of that. But when we get rock shows, and it doesn't matter if it's a rock show or not, whatever your genre of choice is, whenever a band that you love is coming to town, you got to get out and support them. You do. Number one, they need the gas money. But number two, you never know when they're going to stop touring. But if we want to keep getting great bands to come to Mississippi, you got to get out and support them. And I choose to do it also on a grassroots level. I hope that you'll join me. It was good seeing a few of you out at Howl & Mow's. Yeah. Super cool night, man. Saw a lot of folks. Saw our buddy Lance Gamble down there. Lance is right down front in the video. But, yeah, it was a good time. And so we'll do it again. We'll do it again soon. And I'll give you guys updates again this Saturday. We're going to get together and have our first rehearsal. And you never know. We may jam some stuff, too. I mean, you get a bunch of guys together with guitars and drums, and you get a rehearsal space, you want to take advantage of that. And so you never know what could come from that. You know, we might bang out some, I don't know, Everything Zen or something. I love Bush. Love Gavin Rossdale. So maybe we'll do that. We'll see how things go. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. We love Bulldog Burger Company, and we've loved them for a long time. We have. Since they opened the flagship here in Stark Vegas, I have been a frequent customer of Bulldog Burger Company. I love it, man. I do. All these years later, like, there's some places you're like, well, I kind of want something new. And we do have some new places. But, man, I can always depend on Bulldog Burger Company. I'm not taking a risk when I go there because I know the level of service, the level of culinary arts, atmosphere that I'm going to get when I go there. You put your feet under their table, they take care of everything else. Get the spring rolls as your appetizer, kind of get the party started early. It makes you better looking, everybody around you better looking. And find a great restaurant quality hamburger that feeds your hankering of the day. Maybe you want that BLT salad. I prefer it grilled. You may like it fried. I'm not judging. I'm not. But find your own favorites. Three great locations to serve you. University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Rich and Flowood area. Get the chocolate shake to go. You'll be glad you did. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Mississippi State scrimmaged over the weekend. We were not able to attend. Some of you were, and don't think that doesn't chap the hide a little bit, you know. I think we could probably broker a piece. You know, it's like, hey, we're not going to shoot any video or take any pictures, but we'd love to be able to watch. Many of you were able to go, and we appreciate your contributions on the jeanspage.com message board, just kind of sharing what you saw. And we get it. I mean, it's kind of the untrained eye, but listen, hey, the fans' point of view is important. We all believe that, right? And even though it's a lot of people that maybe don't know a lot about football, right? You love football. You love Mississippi State, so we appreciate your contributions. You can come be a member of jeanspage.com for 50% off the annual subscription price right now. You don't even have to ask for a promo code. You just go log up, and it'll give you the option to do that. And so one of the questions that I asked Levy is, like, you know, how do you keep it fresh? Because what happens is this deep into camp, like the defense knows what the offense is going to run. Like they've identified formations, they've identified certain personnel groups, and you begin to kind of tailor your defensive strategy based on what you've learned in camp, right? So I asked Lab about that. I said, what do you do? You know, what do you do to kind of keep it fresh? So Lab says, and quote, "The installs have continued to build as we move through camp. The call sheet today was different today, both sides of the ball than last week. That's natural. We're trying to create some stress for them, make it as hard as we can right now. So when we get to game plan, they're able to dial into that. It streamlines it and makes it easier," end of quote. And so basically what Lab is trying to do here is prevent kind of what we just described. Is you see the same plays over and over and over again. I remember, like it was yesterday, my first year playing Pee Wee football, right? Played outside backer. We had a guy named Corey Williams that played corner. And Corey and I had kind of figured it out. There was a play called seven split seven that the offense ran. So we knew the primary receiver was going to be Calvin Newsom. We knew. And so we kind of took turns kind of getting out there covering him. Like even as kids, kind of figured it out. We knew where they were going with the football, so let's get out there and see if we can't make a play. And that's what happens. And so that's kind of what Leb is talking about here. So maybe our defense has seen us run 7-split-7 several times. And so we're going to change the call sheet up. Number one, to keep the defense honest. But number two, the bigger part of that, defensive coaches need to see how guys react to certain stimuli, right? And so this is what you've seen, but it may not be necessarily what you're taught, right? You need to make sure that you understand your positional responsibilities no matter what the play call is from the offense. You got to execute the defensive call. And so as a defender, rather than you just kind of cheating the process, and so I know what they're going to run here. Now, you'll do some film study in season and you'll figure some things out. Of course, there's always wrinkles that people add that are opponent specific week to week. You know, that's an aspect of it that you're going to see. But when you know each other as well as your offense and defense does, you know, things can get a little bit stale. So that's kind of what Leb's talking about here. We just kind of flipped it up just to kind of change it up, just to make sure people knew the calls, knew their responsibilities, and they weren't just kind of riding on their recent experiences. We talked a little bit about progression with Leb. You know, did you see some progress from one scrimmage to the next? Leb says, yeah, you do with a bunch of the guys. Sitting in this chair I'm sitting in, you want more. That's not ever going to change. The stress is regardless of who's out there, ones, twos, or threes. End of quote. We'll pause it right there. That's the definition of good coaching. Like, you can't accept poor execution from your twos and threes and then expect your ones to take you seriously. Everybody has to be held to the same foundational standard. Because if you start dogging it with the threes, then they begin to realize, hey, well, these snaps aren't meaningful at all. If I'm not going to get coached, then I'm in the wrong place. How do I get better if I'm not coached? And that's kind of what we're getting at here. The stress is the stress, regardless of who's out there. Resuming the quote, the stress is being able to execute.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
It's been growth for a bunch of guys, and there's a bunch of guys who have to get a heck of a lot better. That's where the strain is. That's Dan Mullen, 3.316. That's part of coaching, part of leading, trying to find ways to get the most out of them, get them where they need to be, end of quote. You know, Leb's still been kind of reluctant to identify certain players, kind of rising above. One of the things that I have been told is that Cannon Boone may be the most improved offensive lineman on the team. And I would say going into the final 2 weeks of camp, he's probably your starting center. That's one of the things that I was told, is that he has just kind of really got a fire in the belly. He's firing off the line. And I don't know that I expected that. I thought he would be in the mix at one of the guard spots. I didn't think it would be center. I mean, we go out and we get Kobe Keenum and you go get Brennan, you know, and you think, okay, well, you went out and got two centers in the portal. And then Cannon Boone, and I don't know if it's just the, you know, feeling the heat of new competition, if it's the urgency of being a senior, but it's like he said, you know what, I'm going to take this. You know, this is my opportunity. I'm not going to just give this away. And there's a lot, you know, with Luke Work sliding in at left guard. I mean, there's a lot of competition for those interior spots. We'll see how things go. One of the guys that Leb and certain offensive players and defensive players have mentioned, one of State's first portal commitments. And I remember when he committed, I called and spoke to Coach Glenn Davis, former Mississippi State assistant, been at Colin forever and a day. You know, Jerron, of course, had spent last year at Old Dominion, had a tremendous year for them. And I was wondering, right, is this a guy that has the potential to be a two-deeper? Could he compete for a starting role? Is he a special teams guy? What's he going to be for us? And everybody I talked to said, the guy's just a ball player. And he was too good to be playing at Old Dominion. Now he's at Mississippi State, and he continues to be mentioned without provocation by your Mississippi State coaches and players. Hey, who's kind of stood out to you? That's a pretty standard question in press conferences when we talk to the players. Hey, who on the other side's kind of stood out to you? And then we ask some of the guys on our defensive line, who, you know, who's kind of stood out to you? You know, and so Leb himself kind of points it out. Leb says, absolutely, a guy like J-Man, that's Jerron Manning, he's played a bunch of ball, he's been very productive. He's going to have a great year for us, excited about who he is and where he is right now, end of quote. So when you begin to kind of work through all of this, right, you know, the puzzle of 22, as we call it, it is evident to me that Jerron Manning is going to have a seat at the starting table. And we talk about, you know, the secondary. And again, I think at times last year the secondary may have been unfairly maligned just because of the fact they had to defend for so long. Not to say that I expect the corners to be great. You know, we just need them to be good. They had some ball games that were pretty good. There were other times, too, they had to go out there and you know, defend 6, 7, 8 seconds. And I don't care who you are, where you're from, or what your pedigree is. When you got to do it that long and when you can't get pressure on the quarterback, eventually you're going to make a mistake. And we knew we had to go get at least a safety. We ended up getting more than that. But it appears Jerron Manning is going to be a guy that you need to be familiar with. Isaac Smith has mentioned him. Yeah, some of our wide receivers have mentioned him. And I think that's the, you know, I think the best evaluators are defensive backs or receivers and vice versa. Because they pair up every day. They're in close quarters every single day. They share positional reps. They share one-on-ones. They do team drills. And so, you know, those are the guys that they understand who they can gain separation against. And they know who is difficult to cover. And so when so many people, and I would venture to say that Jerron Manning has probably been mentioned by more players on the defensive side than anybody else. You know, Isaac Smith needs no introduction. But then when you got a guy like Jerron Manning that's, again, a newcomer to Mississippi State, and yeah, I think about, you know, Jackie a couple years ago, you know, what a difference maker he was for us. Wish he'd come back for another year. But, you know, maybe Jerron Manning can have that type of impact. You know, well, wouldn't that be great? It's true. I asked a little bit about Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans. You know, like, these are guys that were kind of handpicked by Bumpus and Lebby. And obviously Brennan Thompson is a guy that we think a lot of because we've seen him in the media days. Guy didn't have a ton of production. Got a lot of potential, but not a lot of college-level production. Some people are like, all right, well, you know, let's see it, right? And so I kind of asked Lebby, kind of pushed him a little bit, to give us kind of a declaration of his expectations. And Leb says, my expectation for those two guys is they won't be good players. They'll be great players for us. I love their skill set and how they've attacked every day. They practiced. They've taken care of themselves. They've had really good production. Excited about both of those guys. End of quote. that's what you want to hear from your head ball coach, especially when he is an offensive-minded coach that is very much reliant on the forward pass. And I was on a radio show earlier today, and that's one of the things that we talked about. This time last year, we thought Kelly Akari was going to kind of be the bell cow of that group. That's what we thought. Mario Craver, obviously, was a high school All-American. We thought maybe that he would have some opportunities. Probably had a better year than we expected. He's elsewhere now, and that's okay. Kevin Coleman was a guy that hadn't done a whole lot. He was highly recruited out of high school, but he hadn't done a lot in college. And he became kind of a product of the system. Lebby and Bumpus got it out of him. And I'm sure Eli Drinkwitz and the folks at Missouri, they'll know how to utilize him too, right? I wish we had him back. I do. And the next step in this process, though, is for us to find the next Kevin Coleman. Now, I don't know if there is a bell cow receiver right now. And I don't know if you need a, quote, bell cow receiver. You know, earlier today, I've watched a lot of Mississippi State football over the weekend. I love the fact that you can watch, like, condensed games on YouTube and just pull them up, and you can watch a full game in under an hour. Love it. Love it. I went back and watched that 2020 game against LSU. First game of the Mike Leach era. And, you know, we had so many players that stepped up, like Osiris Mitchell. Right? Osiris was a guy, people forget this. We signed him after signing day. Do you remember that? It's true. We did. We signed him well after things were done. And part of that is because we had to make sure he was going to be a full qualifier. And it took him a little time to kind of get things together. But Osiris Mitchell, I mean, goodness gracious, you know, this is a guy that kind of took a step forward a little bit in 19, a little bit. But then in 2020, it was a coaching staff that inherited him that knew how to use him. You know, I go back to 2017. Osiris played as a freshman, right? Had 5 catches, 51 yards. Year 2, 26 for 427. A nice step up, right? 4 touchdowns. One of those, of course, came very early that year, you know. 2019, we go down there and play in the Cajun Dome or in the Superdome. We had 6 touchdowns that year for Mitchell. We felt like maybe Osiris, maybe we were getting all we could get out of him. Maybe. Now, of course, you know, the throw game, as Levy likes to call it, wasn't exactly efficient in the Joe Moorhead era. It wasn't. It was better in 18 than it was in 19. But in 19, Osiris, at that time, a career-high 29 catches for 430 yards and 6 touchdowns. The next year, we got 47 grabs out of him and over 500 yards. We got our scholarship money out of Osiris. We did. But again, a lot of that kind of boiled down, and Osiris in 2020 only played 11 games because of the abbreviated schedule. Yeah, in 19 and 18, he played 13 games counting the bowl game. He played 11 counting the bowl game in 20. And he still had, for the most part, a career year. And so I use that as an example because of the fact Mike Leach and his staff, number one, were in a pass-happy scheme, but they also knew how to utilize him. You go back and watch that 2020 LSU game and how we used Osiris outside the numbers and we threw the 50-50 balls and he was the guy that we could bring at times on the crossing routes against man coverage. And because of his length and his great catch radius, he could be a real weapon for us. And he was. And so now that's where I think this thing is with Lebby, with Brennan Thompson. Like when you go back and look at what Oklahoma did offensively last year, and all those receivers get mad and leave, right? It's like, I'm not playing in this. And so Brennan Thompson's a guy that's been underutilized. Evans, of course, is a Georgia, made some explosive plays at times, but the depth chart at Georgia is pretty deep. You know, it's like I go back and think about Tyrell Shavers and the way he played for us in that 2020 LSU game. It didn't last long, but I think you're going to see a similar development path for these newcomers because they came here for the reason of playing time. They weren't run off. They weren't processed out. Those are guys who are like, I got to go get into a scheme where they're going to throw the football. Well, I'm sure we want to run it a lot more than we did last year. But it is evident to me, you know, based on what we have done in recent years, that if you want to be a wide receiver and you want to go out there and get several targets a game. This is going to be an offense and a football program that you're going to be interested in. It makes perfect sense. And so this is like the final week of camp, right? So scout team will kind of start getting set up this week. We talked about that with Lev a little bit too, you know, kind of getting that settled and then kind of settling your two deep. And the depth chart for the Southern Miss game will be out next Monday. Probably out right before Levy meets with the media on Monday. And we still don't know what our media opportunities are for this week. We'll have some. I doubt we see any practice. And if we do, it'll be very abbreviated. It will be. And, yeah, I wish we could get out there and see more of that stuff too. But even when Leach was here, as open as he was, you know, those opening 2 weeks of camp, once we got into pre-camp, which was the last week of camp before game week, we were restricted then too. So we didn't have the opportunity to see any team drills or anything of that nature. But the reality of it is we are now basically a week away from game week for ourselves. There will be some games this weekend, as you guys are aware, and some high school games will get kicked off this weekend. I was going to go to one out-of-state one this weekend, but we're going to see the Party Animals at Duty Noble Field. Perhaps you'll be with us. We look forward to that, too. And, you know, excited about doing something cool like that. It's a fun week. I've never seen anything like that. I mean, just so you guys know, I've never, ever seen anything like that. You know, and it's not that I'm like some baseball purist. I am, but I'm okay with people having fun. I'm a fan of fun, and I hope that you are, too. Sometimes I don't know. Like, I see people get upset about, you know, what we're wearing, you know. Well, let it ruin your fun. But, yeah, we'll have some actual college football games this Saturday. I'm jacked. And most of them will be in the afternoon. And we'll have to hustle back from band rehearsal to watch some games in the evening. But I'm just ready to see a game that matters. I used to love to watch, like, preseason football games. I don't watch them anymore. I just don't. It's just it doesn't hold my attention because I know that the games don't matter, right? I want to see games of significance. We will see some this Saturday. Real quickly, run them down. There's five games this Saturday. Iowa State at Kansas State, 11 a.m. Central. They're going to be playing in Dublin, Ireland. And Kansas State, a three-point favorite in that game. That's a top 25 matchup. Your first college football game of the year is a top 25 matchup on ESPN. So you can get up Saturday morning, maybe send the kids to go get donuts and some chocolate milk, and then like spend the rest of the day just kind of vegging. That'd be cool, right? DoorDash some food maybe. I don't know. After that, we got Idaho State at UNLV. The debut of Dan Mullen. Again, I guess that's the Vandals, right? The Running Rebels versus the Vandals. Fresno State is at Kansas. Kansas, of course, was a very interesting team last year. They're a 13-point favorite in this game. Sam Houston will be at Western Kentucky. Of course, our buddy Drew Hollingshead at Western Kentucky. We got a couple Bulldogs that have made their way up there since Drew's been up there. And then Stanford is at Hawaii. That's an ICAP at 6:30 Central. So, again, a full slate of games, maybe not a lot, to hold your interest. And then next Thursday, it gets really busy. It gets really, really busy. We have games Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And Labor Day weekend is always a fun one. There's just so much going on. You know, many of you will be out on a leg for one final time this year. But we'll have games Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then one game on Monday for Labor Day. Labor Day evening, TCU at North Carolina. And I'm not sure what to expect from this North Carolina thing. Are you? I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. You know, Bill Belichick is coaching college football. You know, we'll see. Let's award our Close with Blair player of the day, Blair Chandler, my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. Blair knows how to get things done. And when you're dealing with something as important as your mortgage, you don't need to cut corners. You don't want to overthink it. Call or text Blair directly at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. Met a real estate agent over the weekend, just raved about Blair. What a great job he does, how he understands the mortgage industry. Blair's put some things out on social media to kind of help people prepare for the process. Maybe it's a good idea for you to go check that out too. But whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, your retirement home, or perhaps your game day condo, Blair Chandler is a name to know. Get his 24 years of expertise and know-how working for you. He can get you to the closing table when so many others can't. Thus the name Close with Blair. CloseWithBlair.com. We're going to give our Player of the Day award to Jerron Manning, again, because he continues to pop up in every media opportunity. And we haven't even had a chance to talk with him. I interviewed him after he announced his portal commitment to Mississippi State, but that's really the only opportunity we've had to talk to him. I don't think we spoke to him in the spring. I don't think so. But we haven't talked to him in the fall. And considering the role that we expect him to play, that would probably be a good thing. Maybe we do get a chance to talk to him this week or next, but I'm certainly confident that we will through the season. You know, and one of the things that's kind of interesting too, like when everybody's talked about all this, you know, the Marshall effect at Southern Miss, you know. I don't know if you guys kept up with it at all. I don't know how big a fan you are of the Thunder and Herd. Maybe you're huge fans. I don't know. But what's interesting to me, and I don't know why it's so complicated now, why do I have to accept cookies for everything? Anytime that I go to a website, do you want to reject? Do you want to accept all cookies, or do you want to like pick and choose? I don't want to. Why do I have to download cookies to enjoy your website? Why can't you just let me go to the website? And that's first world problems. But you know, Old Dominion was 5-7 last year. They were, and they ended up playing Marshall in the Oyster Bowl. You know, it's a rivalry game. Are you aware of this? Yeah, Sun Belt Conference game. But they played in Norfolk. And so the reason I bring that up is because of all the Bulldogs on the roster this year, Jerron may be the only guy that has seen this on field level. Kind of what Southern Miss is expected to do. And Marshall, gets up in this ball game, 17-7 at the break. Old Dominion comes roaring back in the third. Marshall wins it 42-35. But an entertaining game for sure. But, I just think about the fact that Jerron Manning has gone through a game week just to kind of see what those guys' concepts they ran. I think that could be a valuable piece. Like if you're Coleman Hutzler, and I'm sure they've already talked about it. You know, Jerron would be like, hey, I played against these guys last year. You kind of know the tendencies of a quarterback. You know, all that stuff I think is very important. But I think it's an interesting dynamic when you have had to spend a week to prepare for a team that maybe perhaps your teammates have not. And so I think there's some valuable insight that could be drawn from that experience. You know, maybe you see it differently. But I think Jerron could be a guy, he knows what Braylon Braxton looks like on the field. And they gave him a little trouble. He was 13-24, threw three touchdowns. But they only sacked him the one time. But I just think there's probably some knowledge in the head of Jerron Manning that, maybe you don't see, you know. And, that's just kind of what I'm thinking. You know, he is a guy that has been a part of this, the preparation, the game film. Could be a little bit of an advantage for Mississippi State. Now, the flip side of it is, of course, Jeffrey Pittman is down at Southern Miss. Was not with us in the fall, but he was with us in the spring last year. And so that's an aspect of it too. So there's probably going to be some insider information on both sides of it. So, and that's your Player of the Day brought to you by CloseWithBlair.com. Okay, time for today's top 10 list brought to you by Kalido Guitars. That's Kalido Guitars.com. If you have not gone and visited Kalido Guitars, even if you're not ready to make a purchase, you owe it to yourself just to go look, okay? Just do some online browsing. You do it all the time, right? And sometimes you need a little motivation in life, right? It's like, you know what? I think I will pick up that overtime shift because I'd like to have a little disposable income because I want to go grab this new guitar that I saw at KalidoGuitars.com. I'm just trying to whet your appetite a little bit Go visit there. When you get to the website, very, you know, well-constructed website, you're going to see guitars, violins, ukuleles, mariachi instruments, if that's your bag, the accessories. There's a drop-down menu there. It'll take you to amplifiers, recording device, microphones, capos, cases, footstools, guitar rests, humidifiers, instrument stands, all kinds of stuff. Basically, anything you need, including parts and tools, straps, strings, anything that you need to play a stringed instrument, you can find. Now, they also do some cool stuff. They do some specialty stuff. They do a steel string acoustic. They're not limited in what they can do. And you know why? Because this is a real guitar shop, right? This is not one of these places that you buy your interest. Well, this is what I'm looking for. Like, I go Google, I want this guitar, and all of a sudden it finds, some dealer out there, or basically, you know, some out of the country website that is going to send you a guitar, and then all of a sudden you can't get a hold of anybody, right? That's one of the things that I hate about making big purchases online, is everything is fine when things go as expected. When things don't go as expected, you need to be able to talk to somebody. You can call KalitaGuitars.com on the phone. Very easy to contact them. You can stop by their showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, or you can just hit them up online, and you're going to have people on the scene with expertise, great customer service. I keep looking at this Steve Vai Signature Ibanez, because I'm an Ibanez guy. I keep looking at this, and I keep thinking, you know what? Maybe I should pull the trigger on this. Maybe. It's not a very expensive guitar, and of course, we get the Kenfolk discount. Let me give you some incentive too, right? Courtesy of Kalita Guitars. Promo code BSR. You know it well. Use it at Kalita Guitars, whether you do it in person, online, or over the phone. You just mention, hey, I have a promo code BSR. That gets you 10% off your purchase. It's true. In addition to that, you get free shipping. And if you don't live in the state of Texas, no sales tax. And then they're going to make a 5% donation to the Bulldog Excellence Fund to help Mississippi State put more competitive teams on the courts and fields of play. There's nobody better. Don't waste your time and effort shopping for guitar and stuff anywhere else. Just don't do it. Stick with the Mississippi State owned and operated company, Kalita Guitars. All right, another suggestion. You guys have been absolutely red hot as of late, and I do appreciate that because a lot of times we get, hey, Steve, have you done Dokken? Or, like, have you done Taylor Swift? You know, have you done Toad the Wet Sprocket? We get a lot of that. And the answer to those questions are yes. Yes, we have. But there has been some inspiration as of late from somewhere out of the ethos where people have had great ideas and they have sent those to me. I said, Steve, why don't you give this a shot? So Tim hits us up. He didn't ask for credit, but I'm going to give him credit anyway. Tim said, Steve, have you ever noticed how many cool songs are out there that are acronyms? And I was like, yeah, that's true. And I thought, well, you know, I'm more of a rock guy. I want to kind of limit it to this. There are a ton of rap and R&B songs that are acronyms. And let me go ahead and give you guys the program disclaimer, the parental advisory, because a lot of these acronyms are acronyms for a reason. I'm not going to say the word, but as I explain this, you may have tender ears in the car, and I don't want them to be offended. So this right now is your parental advisory for this segment of the show. I'm not going to be profane, but I'm just going to tell you what these things stand for, right? And so Tim points out, of course, you have the YMCA. And most people have no idea what it stands for, but it's a Young Men's Christian Association, right? But there's a lot to this. And so there are a few songs that didn't make our list, but I didn't want to double dip. Some bands have kind of done a little bit with this, but I'm going to give you, these are my top 10, okay? You may see it differently. That's completely fine. It is. But here we go. Number 10, from My Chemical Romance, who has made a comeback in recent years. They were a huge emo band. They have come back. They've said and done some things on stage that have been somewhat controversial, and some people are like trying to give up their tickets, and I'm just like, can you relax? And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't mean to offend anybody, but if I do offend you, maybe you needed to be offended. Guys, you people that are freaking out about like this witch's brew energy drink that is coming out for the fall, please stop. You don't have to drink it. You don't. And the same people, when Monster first came out, said that's the mark of the beast. Please stop. You're embarrassing yourself. You don't have to drink anything you don't want to drink, but you also don't have to go on Facebook and explain your idiocy to other people, okay? I'm sorry if that hurts. But My Chemical Romance had a song called FTWWW. Now, some of you know what the first letter stands for, right? So it's blank, the whole wide world. That wasn't going to make it on the liner notes. All right, number nine, Pearl Jam. This song was a little bit controversial when it was released. And I think there is some profound things with this. I think people have kind of reacted, maybe overreacted about this song in hindsight. Because when this was released, we just didn't care, right? I mean, it's like Eddie Vedder and I may never vote the same. I don't know how he votes. I don't care to know how he votes. Because I'm one of these kinds of people that I like to believe that, you know, I'm just going to let people be people. That's my attitude. I don't know how you see it. I think, you know, hey, if you want to do your thing, you do your thing. That's just, you know, I may like a song or two of yours. It doesn't mean that I endorse everything you do. You may see it differently. That's how I see it. And I think more people should kind of see that for what it is. I don't confuse the personality, you know, with the principle. That's my attitude. Maybe you may see it differently. But long, long time ago, back in 1993, Pearl Jam released their second album, Versus. And I remember when we saw the debut of Animal on MTV, and we freaked. And then next thing you know, they announced tour dates and Urge Overkill, and Pearl Jam are playing in New Orleans at Kiefer three consecutive nights. We went and stood in line, and we got tickets, and we were so pumped to be able to go see Pearl Jam and Urge Overkill. It was great. But there's a song, a deeper cut, on that album called WMA. It's White Male American. And that's what he talks about. He won the lottery the day that he was born. And a lot of that is just kind of about it. It was basically, as Eddie Vedder recounted later, that there was an encounter that he saw where an African-American guy was kind of beaten by police. And it made him angry. And so he himself had kind of been contacted and was treated differently. So he wrote a song about it. So there you go. Number eight, System of a Down. They've kind of built a career by using acronyms. It's BYOB. It's not bring your own beer. It's bring your own bombs. How about that? Number seven, there are a lot of bands out there that have done DOA, right? Van Halen's done it. There's a bunch of other people. I thought, you know what, to show that we have the ability to expand our horizons a little bit, that we would have, you know, some bands from the 80s, 90s, and more recently the 2000s and 2010s. A band that I love, I Prevail, had a great track, and there's actually a rap version to it too. And this is, again, a song really about social consciousness, and it's about all of us kind of being enemies, and it's what's wrong, right? The song is DOA, Dead on Arrival, from I Prevail. I think you'll dig it. Number six, way back to the Stay Hungry album from Twisted Sister, right? And when this was out, this was like, when this album hit the shelves, people lost their minds. Number one, you had Dee Snider with his outrageous look and, you know, talking about anthems of rebellion, We're Not Gonna Take It, which is still anthemic. But there was a song on there called SMF, and you know what that stands for. And people lost their minds. And like in record stores, like they would put a sticker on the back of the CD, like where you couldn't see that. It's true, even though it was an acronym. Number five, and this is one that's a little bit risque qualifier. I think it's actually musically and sonically one of the better songs from Seether. The acronym is FMLYHM. You know what the first letter stands for, but the rest of it is Me Like You Hate Me. Again, you may not like the lyrical content, but the song is great. Kind of changing gears a little bit. No hate, more love. It's number four from the great classic, modern classic album, Take Me Back to Eden from Sleep Token. It's a little bit softer track. It's D-Y-W-T-Y-L-M. Do you wish that you loved me? And of course, you don't have to wish. You can just love me, right? And I'm going to love you right back. Number three, a lot of people, there have been some controversy about this, and people have tried to like back off of this and try to say it's really about Bill Ward. I don't believe it. Going back to the early days of Black Sabbath, it's NIB. A lot of people love that. And what was the reported title way back when was Nativity in Black, right? And so that's going to be offensive to some people. So it made sense that it would be an acronym. And that's the thing. If it was an innocent thing, why would it be NIB? You know, we almost put SATO on here from Diary of a Madman, but it's basically like Sharon's name. That's what it is. Number two, again, one of my more favorite recent rock bands, it's Bad Omens. This is a deeper cut off the Death of Peace of Mind album. If you like rock music with, like, let's just say basically, like, if Depeche Mode and maybe Rage Against the Machine, like, had a baby, it'd be Bad Omens. I love Bad Omens. I do. The new singles, Out Spectre, great. But we're going back to the Death of Peace of Mind. And this, again, a deeper cut. I told Kevin Civello, I said, dude, if I ever do anything musically again, I want it to sound just like this. And it's Bad Omens, IDWT dollar sign. What does that stand for? It's I don't want the money. But it's actually a bit of a play on words there, because he says in the song, I'm not going to pretend that I don't want the money. Great track. Should have been a single. But number one, and shout out to Dreadheads around the world. And my whole attitude about this one, and I know some people are upset about this. Guys, this acronym for Adidas dates back to when I was like in middle school, right? Everybody had this. Korn just made a song about it. And of course, the track is Korn's All Day I Dream About Sex. That's number one. And you'd say, but Steve, is that what you're saying? I'm not endorsing the message. I'm just telling you it's a great song. And so anyway, that's our top 10 list. Tim, I hope I did the list justice. Of course, there's no YMCA on it. There's some other things out there we could really get in trouble with. But anyway, I know it can be a little bit controversial. Again, that's why it's an acronym in the first place, not why it's not spelled out. So I share that with you. Roy promises to get caught up on the list, getting them to Spotify. If you have ideas for the top 10, feel free to reach out to me. I'm on all forms of social media at ScoutSteveR. And you never know when you may see some live music pop up on there too, and you can enjoy that at your leisure. I rarely ever use TikTok, and I decided to help Fred and the guys. I'll just push this thing out to TikTok, and I don't know how to hashtag the way other people do to get, you know, make these things go viral. But again, we had over 10,000 views between my social media platforms. So happy to help them any way we can. But if you have ideas, reach out, let us know. We appreciate that. You can find our great list on Spotify under Roy's handle, Dogmatic67. That's DAWGMATIC67. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. Campus Bookmart has exactly what we want, and what is that? More Mississippi State merch. Doesn't matter if it's apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave. You can find that at Campus Bookmart. I'm always a proponent of the diploma frame, as you guys are well aware. It's time to kind of start thinking ahead of that. Yeah, you got some Bulldogs that are going to be graduating perhaps this fall. Maybe go ahead and get a jump on that. Give the timeless gift of that official Mississippi State diploma frame. It's also a great place to stop by when you're in town, just to kind of peruse all of the merchandising options that are available to you at that very, very legendary Mississippi State place, Campus Bookmart. Swing by next time you're in town and see their smiling faces. If you can't make it to town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. It's always great to get your Mississippi State gear from Mississippi State owned and operated company. That's Campus Bookmart. Campusbookmart.net is the only name you need to know when online shopping for Mississippi State merch, and we'll give you some incentive promo code BSR, which gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. And of course, the new Dark Mode apparel collection, now available at Campus Bookmart. Be sure and check it out today. Okay. I got to thinking over the weekend, you know, about the depth at quarterback in Mississippi State. Yeah, and also, too, kind of the health of Blake Shapen. He's looked good from what we've seen in the limited amount of opportunities we've had to view practice. He's looked good. Reality of it is we can't just expect Blake Shapen to be 100% healthy throughout the year. I hope that's the case. But as Blake has mentioned, he has had to make some changes to his playing style. You know, he always had kind of had a swashbuckling attitude, and, you know, he was an athlete, right? And he is an athlete, but he's not the biggest athlete. And the thing that I thought about over the weekend, in the event that we're going to maybe have a little bit of a bridle on Blake, what do we do when we get in the red zone? You know, you have to have the threat of the quarterback run in the red zone. You just need it. And we went for years with Will Rogers, and we love Will. We do. Very appreciative of his contributions to Mississippi State. But you and I both know, Will not the most fleet of foot. And so sometimes things would get bogged down in the red zone. We'd have to kick field goals. And that's not really what we want to do. We want to get touchdowns. We want to get separation in games. You don't want to let people hang around. You know, we got a great kicker in Kyle Ferry. But when we get down close, we need the threat of the quarterback run. And so I begin to kind of pose the question, does this provide a role for Kamario Taylor this year? A lot of people want to redshirt him. I think ideally you'd love to redshirt him. You would. Because of the fact it gives you some distance between he and, like, Luke Krobenhawk. Now, Blake Shapen's not going to be here next year. Luke and Kamario will certainly battle for the starting position in the spring and all through into fall camp. That understood, I think we see all three quarterbacks play this year. Now, ideally, you'd love for Kamario to play four games. But at the end of the day, you sign players to play players. And if Kamario Taylor gives us the best chance to win in a limited capacity, kind of like we used Dak in 2012, then we need to explore that option. Not to mention, if we don't have a good year this year, it's probably going to be a new coaching staff next year, right? I mean, let's just kind of call it for what it is. So I don't think Jeff Lebby is going to jeopardize Kamario Taylor's future. But I also think if there is a way that he can ensure that we win more games, then it would be absolutely the right decision to play him some this year. Now, Kamario is not ready to run the whole show. And sometimes, as we Bulldog fans begin to talk about this quarterback depth chart, we don't talk about Luke Krobenhawk enough. Now, Luke obviously was kind of thrust into a situation last year where he had to play at Florida State. Maybe a little bit of a selfish dynamic for them to burn his red shirt year last year, but they did. Now, Luke last year, 44 of 84 passing attempts, right at 52%, 502 yards, averaged about 6. So that's a lot of dinking and dunking. He got sacked 25 times. Wasn't a good year at Florida State. 3 touchdowns, a couple picks. Quarterback rating of 109.6. So not elite by any stretch. But Luke is a great athlete. 63 carries, 113 yards. You say, Steve, that's not a great average, especially when you factor in one of them went for 42 yards. Yeah. But it's, you know, the failure of the offensive line to keep him upright is that aspect of it. But, yeah, I mean, you look at the game log here, and this is where I begin to think maybe there's a way here that you can use Luke Krobenhawk in these scenarios in the red zone to keep defenses honest, protect the health of Blake Shapen, and preserve the redshirt year of Kamario Taylor. I think you've got to have the threat of the quarterback run if you're Jeff Lebby. Now, granted, we've got a very good running back room. However, as you guys saw when Dan Mullen was here, when Tyler Russell was the primary quarterback, we found a way to get Dak involved. It also allowed Dak to put some things on tape, put him in some teachable and coachable moments, but also, too, to have some impact on the game. And he did. Now, looking back at Luke's year last year, against Florida in the rivalry game, they lose that game 31-11. But he ran 21 times in the game. Against Miami, another game they lost, he ran 11 times in the game. Now, some of these are designed quarterback runs, and some other ones are just him kind of scrambling, trying to make something happen. But the reality of it is we've got to find a way to make this thing work. And I think going into the red zone without the threat of the quarterback run in a spread-style offense is probably tipping your hand a little bit. If they think that Blake is no threat to run, then that gives them an 11-versus-10 scenario. I think that's something we've got to consider. And so you begin to kind of work that aspect of it. I think there is a way that you can get everybody involved and certainly get, again, some things on film for both Luke and Kamario to give them some real-time experience in situations where they can be successful. Of course, we'd love to get some separation in games and have those two kind of mop up in the fourth quarter. We'd love that, right? Let them get out there and experience what it's like to be in front of all the cowbells and all that kind of stuff. That's important. You know, it is. Because you don't want either one of those guys going into 2026 without having some marketable experience. You absolutely need to do that. And if you're Jeff Lebby, yes, you need to win this year, but you need to put some building blocks in place for next year. You don't want to just have practice reps to base your quarterback decision on. I think you put them out there, let the bullets fly, and see how they respond. But as we begin to navigate through all of this, you begin to kind of ask yourself, too, with Kamario, I think there could be like a David Mershon type approach to this. You know, we knew once David Mershon got on the field, he was going to be a fan favorite. It's like once you put him out there, you can't take him out. And, of course, he gets injured, and we had to sit him for a little while. But, you know, Mercy, obviously, you know, played a little bit at third. It was kind of up and down. But when he got to short, he found his home. We certainly could have used him last year. But the reality of it is, I think Kamario is a little bit like that, right? Let's say you put together a six-play package and say, okay, this is our red zone offense when Kamario is on the field. And I think Luke, obviously, because of the fact that he's thrown, you know, what, 84 passes in college, maybe you have a similar package with him. And I think Luke, obviously, with a year of experience under his belt, can probably run the full complement of the offense. I think you really want Luke to be your number two because of the fact that Blake is a guy that has been very up and down health-wise. And so I think that's something to consider as we get into this, you know, 2 weeks away from game day. Because of the fact, the threat of the quarterback run and the red zone package changes the dynamic of the defensive game plan. It gives them something else to prepare for, whether you use it or not. And anytime that you can force them to have to consider something else, it makes you a lot less predictable. But if we go out there in the red zone and Blake's behind center, there are going to be some teams that think, hey, they're going to keep him safe because of the fact, while you have some talent behind him, you don't have a lot of experience behind him. Now, Luke's situation, you begin to ask yourself. Again, they burned the redshirt year last year, which was a part of his decision to transfer. You know, what's the agreement there? If I'm Luke Cromanhawk, I want to play as much as I can this year to give me a leg up on this very talented freshman, Kamario Taylor. And again, Kamario is a gamer, right? He is an absolute gamer. And I wrote about that yesterday. You know, when I went and watched him play against Jeff Davis County in the playoffs, once we kind of got in that second quarter and it kind of loosened up a little bit, you kind of got the feeling, you know, that Kamario was just simply that guy. He is a guy that gets the best out of his teammates. He is a guy that other guys want to play for. Now, I don't know the relationship Luke Cromanhawk has with the rest of the roster. I don't know. I've heard some very positive things about Kamario. I haven't heard anything negative about Luke. Don't get me wrong. But I think that you are handicapping yourself if you don't use the full expanses of this quarterback depth chart to win games this year. You know, Michael Van Buren had some rushing touchdowns last year. A lot of those, you know, A lot of his running plays were just kind of him improvising. And Mike is a good athlete, but he's not Kamario Taylor. And he certainly doesn't have the size of Luke Kroemenhoek either. Both those guys are like 6'4", 220. You know, Mike's not even 6 foot. And so there is just some physicality that comes with Luke and Kamario that I don't know that existed last year. And it's one of the interesting things, too. Like, when we went ready to go play Texas, and I'm sure you guys remember us playing that game, and it was a very intriguing game for about 2.5 quarters. You know, I think you probably remember that. You know, we just didn't feel like we had enough offensively to kind of pull this thing off, and eventually maybe the defense would wear down, and that's precisely what happened, just because of the fact that that Texas defensive line was absolutely legit. I mean, they're a much better football team than us. But I thought we did some things schematically early in that game that maybe they weren't prepared for, that kind of caught them by surprise. And maybe you recall that. You know, Chris Parson, of course, and again, you know, there were some people that were suggesting that the current staff was much higher on Chris Parson than they truly were. There was a lot of that. And I don't know why that stuff gets reported. Number one, it's a lack of sources. But number two, a lot of people had a lot to say. But if you recall, you know, Chris Parson had four carries for 20 yards in that ball game. And the thing that I go back to, you know, again, giving defenses something to kind of consider, you know. You know, we came out there and we just kind of ran the football right at them. You know, we did. Michael Van Buren also had a couple of runs, too. And so we open up the game, and we just don't throw the football. I mean, we didn't have to. You know, the first play of that opening drive against Texas, we lose 3 yards, and then we get 5, and then we get 1, and then Booth gets 8. We move the chains on 4th and 1. Second 10, Michael Van Buren gets off the right side, makes a very manageable 3rd and 3, and Van Buren goes again, moves the chains. 1st and 10, we drop back the pass for the first time. And again, we're already in plus territory. Try to get it out to Mario Craver, it gets broken up. And then we bring in Chris Parson. And Chris runs off the left side for 10 yards. And now all of a sudden you're thinking, okay, we're in a good position here. Well, we get, you know, get the lay of the game, get behind it. We run Parson again, they get 6 more. 2nd and 9, Johnny Daniels gets 4. It's a manageable 3rd and 5. We get hit for a 2-yard loss and ended up going for it. We didn't get it. You know, maybe you kicked the field goal there, but I'm sure you're thinking, hey, you know, we've got to be in a scenario here. We're not going to beat Texas on the road just by kicking field goals. But I guess the intriguing part of that to me is that we never really went back to it. I mean, guys, it was 14-6 at the break. It's a 1-score game, and then we come out in that third quarter. And the very first play of Texas's second half drive, the very first play after that kickoff is Jaden Blue fumbles the football. They get a nice run here, but Stone Blanton forces the fumble and recovers it at the Texas 46. I mean, so we're like, hey, we are in positive territory. We didn't do anything with it, though. But we never went back to that Parson package where Chris comes in and maybe you let him run it a little bit. And then as those safeties begin to creep up, you let him throw it because Chris has a big arm. And so my thing is about that is, number one, we didn't utilize it enough. But number two, we clearly understand the benefit of having a little bit of a surprise element with the offense. And so I feel fairly confident that Jeff Lebby is going to find a way to utilize the depth in that room to keep people honest. My hope is, though, is that we will kind of maintain that rather than just kind of go through, you know, just to show it and put it on film. It doesn't help if you don't bring him back in the game. And then I go back to, like, the Mike Wright experiment, you know, 2 years ago. You know, we didn't let him throw the football, you know. And I remember even against the – I watched that Arizona game just Saturday again. And, you know – everybody has seen it on film. When Mike Wright comes into the game, you're going to run the football. We were never setting anything up. And that was the thing that was so frustrating. It's like, and I even asked Kevin Barbet multiple times, and namely after that Arizona game, Coach, I'm sure you saw, as soon as Mike comes in the game on the snap, everybody is crashing the box. Everybody's coming on a run blitz. They're inviting you to throw the football. Why don't we let Mike throw it? Now, granted, Mike, not the most adept passer in the world, but my goodness, you run a middle screen right there. It may go to the house. You know, and I've never been a college football coach. I've watched a lot of college football games. I've covered a lot of games. But when you get one-dimensional, all of a sudden you send Mike right in the game, and all you ever do is run it, you're basically telling the defense, hey, there's no need to worry about the threat of the pass here. We never held them accountable for it. And so when I think about this part of it, when you've got real quarterbacks in Kamario and Luke Krobenhock, you have to find a way to mix things up, get them some playing time, but also to give the offense the ability to catch some people by surprise. Just something to kind of file away. Now, we'll find out what happens against Southern Miss. And maybe the situation doesn't present itself against Southern Miss. I mean, certainly if you get separation in that game, you probably don't want to go out there and put that on film early and then tip Arizona State a little bit. If you can get through Southern Miss and win that game without having to employ these packages, I think that's probably a best-case scenario. But the Southeastern Conference is a line-of-scrimmage league. And when you get down low sometimes, you need like the K.J. Jefferson effect. You need the Chris Ralph, the Tim Tebow, the Dak Prescott. You need quarterback power. You need to be able to run those plays. Run a little counter action, and next thing you know, the quarterback's just kind of following the lead blocker up through there and kind of making his adjustments as we go. But when you think about, again, I haven't seen Luke a lot, but when you look at what Kamario Taylor is and can be, it just makes some sense here that we would take a guy that has consistently been a playmaker in his career, ran for over 2,000 yards in his high school career, I think 1,100 last year, accounted for like a dozen touchdowns. When you have a player that explosive at your disposal and everybody on your staff is dependent on this program winning, you got to find a way to let your winners go win for you. And I can promise you Kamario Taylor is not thinking about a red shirt. And it's one of those things now when you begin to kind of factor so much into the transfer portal, the normal rules no longer apply when it comes to freshman availability, right? I mean, you sign guys to play, and if they can help you win a game, you utilize them because they may not be here next year. And I think also, too, when it comes to engagement, you know, keeping guys engaged and part of game plans, saying, okay, there's a good chance you're going to play this weekend. We got a package for you. And we want to give you that opportunity. I just think so much about like short yardage situations too. And we feel like we've gotten better, you know, on the offensive line. Still, you know, work in progress. But when you begin to think about third and one, fourth and one, third and two, fourth and two, things of that nature, when you have running backs with the girth and leg strength of Fluff Bothwell, Johnny Daniels, and Davin Booth at your disposal, you run some zone read stuff and everybody's pinching in the middle, well, you may get outside and get a big gain out of it. It makes good sense to me to have this wrinkle in the offense. And Jeff Levy doesn't need me to be a consultant for the offense, right? But I think it's pretty safe to say there's a good chance that you're going to see some of these elements as Mississippi State gets deeper into the season. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We love the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. We stayed there for New Year's. We're figuring some things out now. And we'll see how things go. The family's getting bigger. It's more difficult for the oldest son and his bride to travel with three children. So we'll kind of figure some things out. Now I got, you know, four kids in four different states. You know, so we look forward to the time that we can have everybody under one roof. You know, maybe play some games, watch some movies, but certainly break some bread together and just spend time together. You look, guys, your family is expanding too. And maybe your family is aging a little bit, and you begin to think about, hey, we need to get together more and do some fun things together. We need to get mom and dad with the kids, the grandkids. We need to do some things. You need to make that decision yourself. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, Their Facebook page will auto-populate. You can peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests. That's a full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 3 baths. Plenty of parking, a lot of privacy, plenty of peace and quiet. We don't want you throwing a rager out there. We want you to go have a good time being together, making memories together. You owe it to yourself. Just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. So if it's ball game weekend or perhaps you got some vacation time later in the year you need to use, maybe you come up for the doubleheader, right? You have the women's game on one night, the men's on the other. Spend a couple nights. Just have a good time, right? What's life without fun? It's not worth living, if you ask me. But the reality of it is we don't get together enough. We say it all the time. Let's not make it lip service. Let's go make something happen. Now, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, there's going to be some booking options that pop up, Airbnb, VRBO. You can go that route if you want, but if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. That's E-V-O-L-V-E, the Evolve website, and use promo code BSR10. You know that well, BSR, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to this show. What could be better than that? The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right. Kind of going to be potpourri down the stretch here. We are still waiting word on what the Duty Noble exhibition game is going to be. Like, we know that we're going to go play at Florida State. That game sold out. Okay. And you probably could get some tickets as we get a little closer on the third-party vendor side. But officially, through the Blue Wahoos ticket office, every ticket has been accounted for. Reminder, Florida State is playing at Stanford that weekend in football. So we expect there to be a lot of Florida State fans there. We know there's going to be a lot of Bulldog fans there. You guys have let us know. And I think it's a great thing, two storied programs to be able to get together and play these games. I wish we had a home and home with them. Like, they come here for 1 year, we'll go there the next. I think that would be grand, right? I like to play competitive games in a non-conference. Sometimes you got to work through some matchups that are a little, you know, maybe more favorable, you know, for winning, because you got to stack wins, but also you got to kind of figure out who you can trust before you get into SEC play. But, you know, we have those, like the Globe Life stuff. We play in those, the Frisco Challenge. I would be okay with, like, foregoing one of those in favor of, like, a series against a Florida State. I'd love it. I would. And who knows? Maybe we will in the future. You know, we did the whole thing with Long Beach State, and then you get into the whole thing with, you know, the RPI, the, you know, with playing these events in Texas. We played in the Astros Foundation event last year. Ended up playing against a couple teams that did really well. As you guys know, Rice wasn't one of them. You know, they made a midseason coaching change too. But Oklahoma State had an interesting year, and certainly Arizona did. And so those are good games for us to play. You know, we don't need to just play Monmouth and Lipscomb and people like that week in and week out. You got to have a couple of those weekends because you got to get work for some guys. But I would love to be able to do that. You know, have that one marquee non-conference series. Great, great. We'll see how Brian O'Connor feels, because he's got a lot more to work with when it comes to non-conference options at Mississippi State. And reminder, September the 19th will be the opening of fall practice. We don't know the scrimmage schedule yet. The official account will announce that. If we get any advance notice, we'll certainly tell you. For those of you coming this weekend, I remind you, some emails have come out for those of you that are going to the Banana Ball games. It's Friday night and Saturday night. We've been promised a great time. I am sure that'll be the case. It'll be interesting for me. I typically don't sit in, you know, chair backs. So I'll enjoy getting a chance to kind of, quote, be a fan as we get into the in the event. You know, the bride's going with me too. And so I'm excited about every aspect of that. If you're coming too, you have already gotten probably some preliminary emails about parking and about, you know, the schedule. And I've got it right here too. I'll save you a little bit too for those of you that are coming. Let me grab this right here. Let's see here. Let's go. Yeah. So, a lot of stuff here. Things to know before you go, right? Isn't that clever? Yeah. I mean, they're just poets and don't know it, right? But nevertheless, let me. I'm going to save you guys. I'm speaking mainly to you ladies, right? Because I know how your guys are. You don't need to tell me. I know, right? I know. Now, the times Friday and Saturday are identical. So the pregame plaza opens at 3:30, right? Player appearances at the same time. There is the pre-party that begins at 4:30. The gates are going to open at 5:30. Now, I don't know where the pregame plaza is going to be yet. I'm sure they will notify us between now and then. Gates open at 5:30. The show starts at 6:30. It's both Friday and Saturday night. So we're excited about that. And a couple things you need to know. If you require pregame day assistance, 72 hours prior to the first pitch of your game, you will get your tickets. You'll be able to download those. And if you are unable to do that, go back to the website. There's a little tab that you can click, Ticket FAQ. If there's any issues at all on game day, stop by the ticket help tents for assistance. It's going to be a different dynamic, right? And so understand that before we even get started. There'll be people wearing Banana Ball branded clothing that you can speak to. I know they're like your regular people may not be in charge. And so just be mindful of this. And just like with any Mississippi State sporting event, we encourage you, because of the rush of people, be sure and download your tickets to your Apple Wallet. If that's what you, I don't know what you guys have on Android, but make sure that you download your tickets and have them ready to scan prior to the event. As soon as you get them, download them and have those ready to go. You have the Google Wallet app, I guess, on your device if you're an Android person. But be sure that you have those tickets ready to go. We don't want to slow down the flow. There's going to be a lot of people that are going to be excited to be there and be a part of the event. And we don't want to diminish the joy of anybody. So make sure you come and be a part of that. So another thing I wanted to say too, and I'll end on a happy note. This is not necessarily a happy segment, but I will give you something else before we get out of here. But a couple miles from my house over the weekend, there was a wreck that did not involve anybody that I know, that I'm aware of, and we had fatalities. And how we found out about it was like people on Facebook that were like behind the wreck, and it was terrible, and vehicles were engulfed in flames, and it's a tough stretch right there at 82. You know, this wasn't like there was a major turn. It's right there by the asphalt plant before you get to County Lake Road. And there's a lot that goes on, people driving on 82. But the first thing that I want to say is our thoughts and prayers go out to those who love those people who were lost. That's first and foremost. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. It's so incredibly important, because we never know what's around the next bend. We don't know. The one thing that I will say that I'm going to be critical about unless something has happened in the last few hours, there has not been any media attention about that. Now, you'd say, but Steve, I mean, it is what it is. Well, the night that it happened, you know, the Starkville PD, and I give those guys a lot of credit, they tweeted out that, hey, that first responders are working an accident on 82. Guys, the whole point of news is to inform the public. That's it. That is the only function of news, is to gather information for the public. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, people were busy with their own weekends, but I felt, and again, if somebody did something that I'm aware of, I have searched social media extensively, the media let us down. And let me tell you why. Not that we needed to know the names of the victims. That's not our business. However, we have friends and neighbors, and we have people that we love that are first responders, and the last thing they need is their work when they're working a very dangerous work site where there has been fatalities. We need to get the word out for people to avoid the area. And eventually they shut 82 down right there at 25. And so then people kind of circled around and went to 182, or they found alternate routes. But a lot of that could have been helped if we had done a better job getting the word out. Now, I work in sports journalism. I don't know that side of things. But I know that we could have saved a lot of frustration and a lot of undue anxiety for everybody involved if we could communicate that on social media. We always talk about the downside of social media. In times of crisis, social media is invaluable because a lot of times you don't know where to look for stuff. But so immediately you go to Twitter or Facebook or whatever, hey, what's going on with this? And you can find something, right? But again, I had some friends that were, you know, behind the scene, and so stuff just kept piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up and piling up. And again, we have people that are kind of risking their lives in the service of others. And then there are other people that are kind of sitting there in these traffic jams that, you know, somebody tops a hill or whatever, and they're not aware, you know. And listen, we have, you know, we have law enforcement officials in this area that are absolutely outstanding. You know, there are people that have been absolutely wonderful to me. When I've needed them, the police have always come, and I haven't been hassled in Starkville. But my point is, to my media partners out there, we got to do a better job. We have to do a better job in situations such as this to communicate news to our readers and to the citizens. And it's not just in Starkville. I'm just bringing this up, you know. But and it's so interesting, too. Like, I don't know that side of the industry, okay? But if we're just going to be, like, aggregate news sources, like, if we're just going to take, you know, like, I saw something over the weekend, like some guy got sentenced, whatever. And I was like, well, what is – it was, you know, in a neck of the woods where I'm somewhat familiar with those people. I'm like, I didn't even hear about this. Let me go – I'm going to go – what was the case about, right? Couldn't find anything. Nothing about that. But I could find about 10 different news agencies in Mississippi aggregating the report from state government. That's it. Guys, that's not journalism. We don't even need journalists for that. What's the point? And I'm sorry, if you don't want to have a regular schedule, then, you know, go sell insurance. All due respect, our insurance agents, right? But my point being is that I really felt that we were let down. And again, I got some people that are messaging me about what a mess it is, you know, that you got people just kind of piling on top of each other. Thankfully, there wasn't any other incidents, but it's like you got first responders out there at a tragic event dealing with things that I hope I never see in my life. And then on top of this, they're having to kind of deal with all this traffic stuff, you know. And I think we could have done a better job ensuring that people avoided the area. You know, and I don't know, you know, we use Amber Alert, Silver Alert, and things like that. And maybe perhaps there needs to be some type of alert on our phone systems that let us know, hey, Highway 82 is closed at 25. You know, that's just me. But I just felt for, number one, the families having to deal with that. I had some people, of course, when the first reports come from Facebook, right, when people are there kind of seeing what the situation is, not being nosy, but they just happened to be there at the same time, saying, hey, Starkville folks, check in. And then next thing I know, I'm reaching out to some of my neighbors, you know, that live near me. I say, hey, I don't know what you know. I don't want to make you panic or anything, but you know, maybe you can check on your folks if you had anybody heading home here. And unfortunately, somebody I know is connected to one of those that was lost. And so I just think we can be better. This is not a chance to just sit here and gripe and complain and cast aspersions and allegations at people. I just think in situations of the human interest, we need to get these information to them. And small town newspapers in Mississippi, God bless you, but when there is something like this going on, do not put it behind a paywall. That's wrong. That's beyond your mandate. I think you should not monetize an emergent situation when you're trying to get information out, really on behalf of the police department or the sheriff's department or Mississippi Highway Patrol. You know, that's really the function. You know, it's not about, you know, your little notices about, hey, we're going to do bluegrass and arts and crafts this weekend and there'll be face painting for the kids. Hey, you feel free to put that behind the paywall all you want. But in matters of public interest, we've got to do a better job getting the news out. Okay, so hearing some interesting things on the football recruiting side about some guys that maybe we had gotten a no from back in June that planned to be with us in September for a game or two. And as we get closer, we'll share that information with you. But there's some guys out there currently committed to other schools that are still keeping the lines of communication open with Mississippi State coaches and staffers. And that's important to understand. You know, there's still, you know, it's about 4 months before the December signing period opens. So we have time to kind of make an impression or perhaps change some minds. But it is something that we are monitoring. And I suspect that we're going to have a lot of names that you know, even some that are committed to other schools that are going to be here for that Arizona State game. And I remind you, too, that is going to be the unveiling of the LED lights. And the videos that we've been shared have been spectacular. I'm excited. I know you all are excited. It's nice to see us take a step forward with the game day atmosphere. It has been something that has been needed for a long time. And I give Zach Selman a lot of credit for finding a way to make it happen, because we had a conversation, he and I and some other people, just wasn't sure if we were going to be able to get it done this year. And then probably a month later, he finds a way to get it done. And so very grateful for that, and looking forward to seeing our stadium dressed up and really have an incredible atmosphere. And I think it'll be a great night to really impress recruits, and should be a great ball game. And we should have a near-capacity crowd, if not a full-capacity crowd. So if you're on the fence about coming, please come. Please come. Of course, the next week we'll have Alcorn State, and, you know, Northern Illinois will be a day game, and then we get Tennessee. So we're going to have a good stretch here in September, an opportunity for us to kind of showcase ourselves, and we need our fans to be there, cowbells in hand, being a part of that. And again, reminder, we're about a dozen days away from kicking it off, and I have seen some people on social media, and I guess you guys know more about weather than I do. The weather app is going to, again, prevent so many people from having a good time. As we mentioned, you know, it's going to be 11 a.m. kick on the 30th. Guys, I'm sitting here looking at this, okay? Wednesday, I don't know what day that is. I guess that's the Wednesday before the Southern Miss game in Starkville. The high that day is going to be projected to be 80 degrees. Okay, so if you were already forecasting a heat advisory as an amateur, let me tell you, stop doing that. And if you want to do that, then please stop posting about it on Facebook. I've seen so many people like, oh, it's just going to be too hot for me. You don't even know how hot it's going to be. And I understand some people have some some conditions that probably they don't need to be out in the sun, they don't need to be out in humidity. I get it. But on the 10-day forecast, what we're looking at right now, as we get into the early part of next week, we're not even expected to surpass 90. In addition to that, after Wednesday, it looks like things are even going to be a little cooler. So I just share that with you. Don't give up on that already. And don't use as, if you don't want to go to the game, then don't go to the game. But let's not say, well, I think it's going to be 110 degrees or whatever, because you have no idea what you're talking about. Okay, can we do that? I love you, and I want you to love me back. But I also don't want you to put things out there that you don't know that are true that may prevent somebody else from getting tickets. There are still plenty of tickets available for the Mississippi State game at Southern Miss, and we need you to be there. We need every Bulldog we can possibly get at the ball game. If you hadn't done so, go to DirtyNobleBook.com, and you can get signed copies of all my sports titles. That's, of course, Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dogpile, The Dude, right? In addition, you can get the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. Come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. You can call 662-268-7601. Speak directly to my wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you may have. You can book online at TrueRest.com. Download the app if you need to, and come join us over at jeanspage.com. Reminder, 50% off the annual subscription price right now. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends and enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.